is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George, and I didn't get a chance to say it last week, but again, Happy New Year. I think that we need to have a whole new attitude this year because our health is on the line. And the more that I listen to the mainstream media, I'm getting more alarmed at the waste of time and the waste of stories that they're spending on the imminent demise of Obamacare. I think everything that's happened to this point, now that I'm seeing it roll out and paying attention and looking at it critically, this is brilliant. It's a brilliant move by the administration to sucker people, coerce people, cajole people into thinking that, one, that this is going to be a panacea, that the government will take care of you from cradle to grave and it'll be fabulous for those who want to drink the Kool-Aid. And for those of us who really are fighting this thing tooth and nail, this horrific rollout with the website and the fact that all these people are getting waivers and all these things are being put on hold, if you look at it on the face of it, it seems like it's breaking apart in front of your face and it's unraveling. And now they're talking about the death spiral after the 20% or 24% of young folks, young healthy people, have joined Obamacare, which is well below what they recommended and what they estimated, which potentially, I agree, will pull the rug out from underneath this and the underpinnings of it. And by definition, it should fail. But think about everything else that's been put into play. The fact that they waived the employer mandate, the fact that they have waived the limit on out-of-pocket expenses, the fact that they want to allow people to stay on insurance plans that currently exist because it's not rolling out smoothly. These are all very cynical and mercenary and unfortunately quite effective ploys to push people off their insurance that they currently have, give them so the government believes, nowhere else to go. Eventually, they'll have nowhere else to go but to the exchanges in some form. And now the most recent iteration of this is the bailout for the insurance companies. And not only is it an outrage and probably illegal, it's on the one hand, it's brilliant on the other, because if you really think about this, this is single payer being ushered in right in front of our faces. Because as soon as the government starts paying for the insurance companies and making them whole, so under this rule, and I think it's actually written into Obamacare, quite frankly, the insurance companies can only lose a maximum of about 25% loss. Anything above that, anything above $220,000, gets paid for by the government. So they're going to make sure that they get their money, whether they make money or whether they are efficient, whether or not they deny your care but pocket your money, they're going to get paid. So they may be whining right now on various talk shows, but on the other hand, they're not going to have to eat very many of these losses. And it's going to come out of your paycheck under the Obamacare rules and regulations. And well, the insurance companies, I think they're being quite short-sighted, because as soon as the government starts paying, and that will come online, you know, first it was, no one has to prove anything. Just let us know whoever signed up under the exchanges and we'll just pay you and we'll settle up later. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. But it's, you know, it's how the government works. Just pay a crony, pay a friend, keep failing upward. This is the only entity that I can think of that you fail consistently. You don't deliver what you promise. What you deliver is shoddy. And the friends keep getting more money. I mean, it's just incredible. If I ran a business like this, I wouldn't be in business. Nobody would. But the government has deep pockets, which are of our money, and they decide who wins and who loses. And ultimately, they are hell-bent on taking over 1/6 of the economy by hook or crook. And they're doing it. And everybody sitting around waiting for either a freebie or for this thing to blow up is deluding themselves. because as soon as the government puts the check out to Blue Cross or Humana, whomever, then they're going to get to decide what gets covered. And by right, they should. If you're paying, then you get to decide what's paid for. And if it's anything like Medicare and Medicaid, everybody, doctor, patient, hospital, insurance company, is in for a rude awakening, because it's going to be a one-way transfer of money from your pocket to the government and to God knows what. I mean, they have slush funds already set up under Obamacare for the Treasury. They just get this money, and I don't even know what it's being used for, but I can tell you it's not patient care, and it never will be patient care. It'll be patient control. It'll be studies to figure out how to get into the mind of people, how to, I'm sure, basically, get you to take a vaccine, disarm you, control your children, and control your reproductive rights, and then decide when it's your time to die. That's what they're going to spend their money on. That's what they're spending their money on now. And everybody's sitting around like it's okay. It's not okay. And it only affects the people who are in the system. Those of us who are healthy, thank God, pray that you stay healthy. Because if you ever get sick, you will unfortunately figure out what people who go into the hospital already know. It's going to bankrupt you. And good luck having a doctor be your advocate, having the hospital work in your favor and not against you. Ask the child in California who had to leave the hospital, otherwise the plug was going to be pulled. I mean, this is not something that's an outlier. This is how it works. But most people don't get the media's attention. So every day someone is having a bioethics panel deciding whether they live or die, whether they get a little extra morphine today, whether the living will is going to be ignored or not. I mean, this is life and death decisions. And the distraction level is just, it's masterful at this point, between Christie or the Iran deal or Kim Kardashian, whatever the distraction of the day is, while everything continues to move forward and we just pay no attention to it. It's time to stop waiting for someone else to do the work for you. I've been here for 5 years. Is that right, Dave? 5 years doing this? I haven't been wrong to this point, which is tragic. I wish I was. I mean, I wish I didn't call something, but I seem to be, because it's common sense. It's not like I'm a brain. It's common sense. Pay attention to the money. Watch where it's going. Watch who owns the system. And watch who's getting screwed. And you can pretty much figure this out. It's just only going to get bigger and badder as I see it.
I don't know if you remember, Dr. George, but our first conversation and ultimate two or three after that was, I wanted you to come in here as I wanted the station to be a point of information, and I looked to you and said, ah, Dr. George, she'll be great. Let's do a medical show about medicine, yeah. About, you know, the whole broad thing.
Sure.
And, you know, it's really a shame that this administration, that our government, Congress, has you've had to turn your show into a political medical show. And so many other of our shows, we're doing the same thing with almost 100%, and certainly 80% of our shows are aimed at pointing out what's going on in the government. And my last comment is that you hit it so, Obamacare is big, and finally, at least it's touching people where it counts in the pocketbook.
Yeah, pocket the pocketbook. Mm-hmm.
But this administration has been incredible, and Congress has sat there on their thumbs. But, you know, they're destroying our military. They're destroying our economy. This has just been, it's coming from every side. It's beyond me and very frustrating.
Well, I mean, you have to wonder if this is an agenda, if this is a bigger picture, and the government is moving. I mean, it's pretty obvious it's moving towards a global system where everybody is one, and we had to drop our standards in order to meet the rest of the world standards. It's all driven by UN mandates, the WHO, all of these medical pronouncements, you know, about vaccines, about what percentage of people should be, vaccinated per year. the education system. This is not by accident this is happening. And what they basically did is say, you know, if you want to be global citizens, you have to come down to the level of everybody else, because what we've done as a country is not fair. I mean, this is the mindset. It's just now gone from outward to inward. If you're successful, if you work 6 days a week, I mean, we take 2 weeks of vacation. I think maybe a week of vacation on average in this country. France takes a month. You know, this, we work harder than everybody else. We delay things. We pay for what we get. So we didn't just do it. We didn't screw anybody to do it, really, and either. But it's the mindset of, your success came at the price of somebody in Africa or someone in Asia or somebody who's less fortunate, negating the fact that we give more than any other country in the world as well. So we're the most generous. We work hard. Yeah, we were successful. And I'd say were, and I mean that, were, because we're not anymore. Apparently, we're no longer on the top 10 of free enterprise countries where people can make a, you know, start a business and be successful. We're no longer on that list in the top 10. This is not by accident. It's by design. I mean, if you think about when the whole globalist or globalism mantra started, you know, the unions were broken for a reason initially. You know, they made it cheaper for companies to go overseas. They got money to do so. They got tax breaks. They got slave labor in India and China and the rest of these places. But you know, we're also complicit, because we wanted to buy cheap crap from Walmart. We fed this global economy to our detriment. I'd rather pay a few dollars more and make sure that a neighbor's working than a sweatshop or a child slave ring in Asia or China. I'd rather do that. Instead of seeing people jump off roofs in China for making iPads or iPhones, I don't want to feed that type of system. It's not important enough for me to have the coolest phone if someone's blood equity is in that. That's not important to me. And then we need to pay attention to what's going on instead of being cool and the newest fad and, you know, having the coolest gadget. It comes at a price. Not only for people overseas, but for us.
You know, if I would say one thing is, you know, we've always heard money's the root of all evil. Well, you can take that and take it one step further. And I was just thinking, this is all, and we've talked about this on other shows as well, this is all because the media is owned. We have been. Do you want it at 99 cents, or do you want to go out and be stupid and pay $3.99? Well, you know, I want it at 99 cents. Well, it comes from China at 99 cents. It's a piece of garbage, or it's...
Or it's toxic.
But, you know, we've been beaten into that.
Because we want to be. This is...
Yeah.
I believe that people like to be willfully deluded. This is fun for people, certain people. They like it. They don't want to learn about responsibility. They don't want to work the extra time it takes to look up something and actually know something instead of speaking about it emotionally and having no clue about what's going on. That's the problem. But it's bred into us at this point. This is education. This is how people are educated now. It's not about facts. It's about the fathers, the forefathers were all racist, and our country should be, you know, we should hate ourselves because of how we came into being. You know what? The fact that you're sitting here not picking cotton or not in a sweatshop, or women are now allowed to vote, why don't we concentrate on what is now as opposed to what was? Because if that were the case, we would still be where we were, and we're not. You have a black president, for God's sake. So to say the country's racist, hasn't moved anywhere, it's a non-argument. You cannot use the argument. At this point, it's time to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Stop whining. Stop complaining about why you can't get by. Or worse yet, why you should take from me, because I'm working my butt off. I don't owe you. I didn't take it from anybody to get it. I don't owe you. I'd like to help you if you want to help yourself. But I don't think that it's your right to take from me because you just want to sit around and do it. And the government is sanctioning that in a way to keep us all at each other's throats while they do whatever they want to do. And on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Don Zapkar, your host for Who Knew on America's Web Radio. Mondays from 2 to 3, we've got great subjects to get you in the know. So much to know with this administration. So check us out Mondays 2 to 3 right here on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that sleep is an important weapon against infection? Sleep is important because it is restorative. During sleep, known as REM, the body recuperates and resets. For example, the immune system increases its activity and stress hormones drop. There is a correlation between sleep deprivation and frequent colds. The average adult should get 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night, and a child needs more since they are growing. Sleep hygiene is important to set a good foundation. Techniques to promote good quality restorative sleep include going to bed at the same time at night, avoiding alcohol or caffeine prior to bedtime, avoiding exercise in the evening, reading to a young child at bedtime, avoidance of drinking fluids late in the evening, and avoidance of taking decongestants at bedtime. If you are having problems sleeping more than once a week, you should see a doctor for further evaluation. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think today is another one of those reality check days. The last few shows have been about trying to empower people to take their power back, stop being victims, willfully or ignorantly, and to realize that this is a scam. It's a Ponzi scheme. A lot of stuff that we hear is complete, it's nonsense, or it's lies, or it's outright criminal behavior. And as long as we sit and take it, they're going to continue to do it. They think that we're stupid. Do you really honestly believe, anybody listening to this show, that the government really gives a damn about you? That they really care whether you reach your potential and you're able to, use your God-given talents to be everything you're supposed to be? It's nonsense. They don't believe that at all. They believe that anything they can do to beat you down, to make you feel powerless, to make you feel dependent, that they're going to do it. I mean, there's a YouTube that I listened to yesterday by a lady named Barbara Lowe Fisher, who talked about vaccinations in pregnant women. When I was in medical school, as a early practicing physician, I learned that pregnant women shouldn't get flu vaccines because it's unsafe for the child. You know, in the course of my lifetime, we've gone from maybe 3 vaccines a year to hundreds, starting on day one, for children to get the hepatitis B vaccine. Listen, I understand that parents want to protect their children, but there's no excuse for you to allow your child to be a guinea pig because the hospital is browbeating you into doing so. I mean, really, this is just, it's criminal behavior by the government to force a child or a pregnant woman to go against their own best health interest. There's something called category A, B, and C. And that means that if you're a pregnant woman, if you take this medication, there's a risk of damage to the child. Category B and category C are generally, if you don't have to take those medications, you shouldn't, because either they've never been tested or the risk is you know, it's very much very close to outweighing the benefit of the medication. We think about that every day. If someone comes in with a sinus infection or needs an antibiotic, that's something that's thought about every day by any doctor when a pregnant woman walks in. Why is that different with the flu shot? And the flu vaccine is category B and C. And I must say that the H1N1, which is now part of the flu vaccine, has never been tested in humans. There is no long-term safety study for any of these things. And if you read the insert, bother to read the insert, they will tell you themselves, we don't really know what's going to happen. You know, do this at your risk. There's animal studies, maybe, in some of them. So basically, you're just a guinea pig. And it's only 30% effective if you do it at the beginning of the year. And one study from England said it was -1% effective if you do it in the middle of the flu season. So all those people lining up now, after some person gets on and says, you know, don't do what I did, I'm just, you know, playing to your fear once again. You know, or basically you're the cause of someone else dying because you don't get a flu shot. It's totally crap. Let me tell you my experience this year of people coming in after having the flu shot. A gentleman with facial paralysis, mastoiditis, which is a bone infection of the bone behind the ear. Complications from middle ear infections where the eardrum ruptured, refused to heal, just never healed. Horrible, horrible to treat. Couldn't get him better with 3 and 4 courses of antibiotics. That's my personal experience with people who got the flu shot. And everybody got sick afterwards. That's not something I recommend my patients do. These are long-term complications. Some people will never get their hearing back. The guy did get his facial paralysis resolved after about 6 months and 3 courses of steroids. And he had never gotten the flu shot before. Trust me, he'll never get another one. So, I mean, this is reality. They don't tell you this. Or the child with narcolepsy. Or that's where you can't control your sleeping patterns. You just fall asleep while you're watching TV, while you're driving. Nobody even knows how it happens, why it happens, but it's not curable. Is it worth it? And to know that the flu, you know, the complication is not the virus itself. It's the bacterial infection that you get after in some people. Not in all people. So is it worth, you know, potentially damaging your immune system for perhaps a 30% improvement, perhaps? And for a pregnant woman to perhaps have a complication in your child that you won't even know. Maybe a learning disability. Maybe behavioral. Maybe ADHD. Maybe autism. We'll never know really exactly what causes these things, because the drug companies will never run real trials. And they're grandfathered and they are shielded from anybody suing them, just like the military, just like the government. And if you look at, let's talk about global for a minute. We're the only country that mandates that people get immunized for all of these things, pertussis and flu and meningitis and you name it, and the measles and the mumps and all these other diseases. And we have the highest death rate. Highest fetal death rate I think we're number 50. We're above some third world countries in terms of children dying at birth, and it's rising, and maternal death rates are rising. And it's kind of dovetails with all the talk about pregnant women getting shot up with these immunizations. I mean, these are anecdotal, but the will to actually do studies on them don't exist because too much money is being made in the vaccine industry. And as soon as Bush, under the Bush administration, they made a rule in Congress that these companies could no longer be sued. That's when, I remember this, no one was making the flu vaccine in the mid-80s because they weren't making any money. You had to beg them to make a vaccine because there was no money in it. As soon as they got the rule or the law that they could no longer be sued, it was an explosion in vaccine production. And then it became mandated. So this is money talking. This is not science. It's not health. It's money. And we've also seen, anecdotally, explosion in ADHD, in autism. Come on. It can't be just out of the blue that these things are happening. And I think the measles are now coming back. And you wonder what's going on with these vaccines. And if you look at the vaccine industry, they're notorious for doing things to people. The polio vaccine with SV40, with the monkey leukemia virus in the initial polio vaccine. And people now who received it, who are in their 60s and 70s, and the cancer rate, you just have to question these things. I mean, these are – I want someone to do some work on this. And until they do it, I'm not interested in taking any of these vaccines, like, until you prove to me that they're safe.
I'm just curious, your feeling, and you just sort of addressed it or did address some of it. I remember at a young age my mother talking to me about polio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was just at the outset of television when Salk came up with the polio vaccine. And, you know, there used to be, before it came out and there was television, then you had the March of Dimes was the polio, I believe, organization fighting polio. And you'd have the kids in the iron lungs, you'd have the kids in their braces and all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't have any statistics, which, you know, we were just talking about numbers. But it seems to me, as an outsider, and I don't want to discuss any other vaccines, but it there was a time that it did, I don't want to say, nothing's ever annihilated, but it at least put a big hole, mm-hmm, into the spread of polio. So where's the line of good and bad on it? Or how, what do you know?
Listen, technically, and I'm not against vaccinations. Technically, there's good to be had from them. The question is, the production, what's in them, does the benefit of getting them outweigh the risk of what's in them? Do you really need to have mercury in there? Do you really need to have aluminum in there? If they were to take those things which are neurotoxic out, fluoride causes bone cancer. There's no reason to have it in these medications. Why is it in there? You know, they could make them safer. And listen, you talk
don't
about
we
what
have
happened.
The FDA taking care
of
us?
Please, don't even go there. The FDA is, they might as well be a revolving door for the pharmaceutical industry. That's how closely they're tied. And the pronouncements that they make, and don't even leave the USDA out of this at this point, they don't work in our interests. I don't know whose interests they're working for. And I digress for a second, but just the thought of them approving Chinese chicken to enter our food supply boggles my mind. God knows what's in Chinese chicken. You've got lead, you've got mercury, you've got, God, I don't even want to know what's in there. All I know is I wouldn't eat anything from China with all the animal deaths, baby deaths, human deaths over there, because their society, in terms of EPA, is in the Stone Ages. I mean, there's waste from chemical plants flooding rice fields, flooding their vegetable supply, and unfortunately they have to eat it, but they're smart enough now to import more and export all their crap, and we're the number one people taking this stuff. They don't allow some of this food to enter the EU, smart. They don't allow Japanese food to enter the EU at some points. We're like, bring it on. We don't have
cheap,
any kind of...
because it'll be cheap.
I don't... Or someone's getting a paycheck. Something's happening that they're not looking out for our interest anymore. And if the government's not going to do it and it's that much in your face, then it's incumbent upon you as an individual to take care of yourself and your family. You've got no one else to blame. And just before we take the break, you mentioned the polio vaccine back when you were a child. You don't even have to go that. You don't even have to look at that. Look at India. In the last 2 or 3 years, they initiated polio vaccines through the UN, and they've had children die. They've had children become paralyzed from the vaccine. They actually stopped it because there was something going on with the vaccine. So this is not something you have to reach back and look at. You can look at real time what's going on. Africa and India are now the template, the guinea pigs for what's going on, and it's not pretty. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure, in some cases are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards, and remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is Cheryl Linker, host of the Master Gardener Hour on America's Web Radio, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Join us as we keep things fun and interesting as we educate you in the world of master gardening.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think, you know, what I'm trying to get across is the fact that it's time for us to start taking responsibility for everything that we do in terms of our health, in terms of our pocketbook, in terms of how we decide to live. You know, you said at the beginning of the show that money is the root of all evil. It's not the quote, actually. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And that's where people get into trouble. I'm all about making money if it's done in a way that is ethical, moral. You don't have to be, being poor is not a great thing. It isn't. But being rich on the backs of other people isn't a great thing either. And getting rich on the misery of people is a corrupt way to live. And the way the government is doing this, it's hurting people. We had the conversation before the show started about this conversation that's now started about the death spiral and how fabulous it is that no young people really joined up. Yeah, I'm thrilled that that's the case, that there wasn't enough suckers to make this thing really fly as high as they wanted it to. But
did they?
Sorry?
Did they?
Did they what?
Want it to really...
No, I mean, I think that they want chaos. They want to break the individual and the employer health insurance market. They want the private market to be just destroyed because they want a government-private partnership, which is single payer. And I think eventually that'll morph into the government just taking the whole thing over and the insurance companies just being like a Medicare Advantage where they're just... helping the delivery of the government product. You know, they're just the way station. I think that's the ultimate goal. But in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of chaos. There's going to be a lot of people who lose their insurance. There are going to be people who have chronic diseases who can't get covered, who will unfortunately be victims of a system that they can't enter. Then you have the hospitals. I mean, hospitals can't make payroll, certain hospitals. They're firing people from insurance companies, workers. So I thought, hey, that's a job that you'd probably have forever if you work for an insurance company. No, it's not. It's not set in stone anymore. You have, at some point, it hasn't happened yet, but they're going to stop hiring doctors in because they'll have their quota of doctors who they need to bare minimum run these hospital systems. And then that's it for doctors, you know, basically. This is a system that's rigged to fail. There'll be no competition. There'll be cronyism run amok. People who have money will opt out of the system. They'll go concierge, or they'll go out of the country. They'll just go to China or India or wherever and get their, you know, travel medicine and be done with it, and leaving everybody else in a system that is broken, run by people who don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean, see this? I'm seeing this now. I have a conversation at least once a day with someone who got some crazy diagnosis or some crazy treatment, and I'm still amazed that really, I can't believe someone told you that. Or you're on this medication for what? It happens every day now. Used to be kind of rare. It's not anymore.
You know, the statement that Obama made in trying to CYA regarding, well, the exchanges just go ahead and take care of it and we'll pay you later.
Yeah, well, yeah. That was not a statement off the cuff, okay? That was a shot across the bow. That's exactly what they're going to do, except they're going to formalize it. That is single-payer people. As soon as the government writes a check to the insurance company, it's not Medicare for all or Medicaid for all. It's the government taking over private insurance company as well. And, you know, let's go back a bit to the death spiral comment. So only 24% of young people joined Obamacare. They're the people who pay money, never go. Those are the gold gooses that lay the golden eggs constantly. Well, 79% of those people who signed up are on are asking for a subsidy, or they're going to go on Medicaid. Do you realize that if you look at their ability to enter society, to be active, productive, wealthy members of society, as soon as they sign up for that, that potential is gone. As soon as you take a Medicaid buck, a dollar from Medicaid, the government has the potential and the ability to take whatever you make back to make up for what they paid for you. That means if you want to own a house, if you want to give it in perpetuity or, you know, leave it to a loved one and you're on Medicaid, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. The government owns you. The state owns you. You don't own you're not working for yourself anymore. You're a slave. You're a serf. That's exactly what you are. But they're giving you this silver lining of, I'm going to help you pay for it. I'm going to give you a freebie. Nothing is free. Nothing is, I'm going to say it again, nothing is free. And when you talk about your health, and that's all you have, really. You have God, you have your health, you have your family. If you're working and you're slaving away and you're putting money away, but they can take that out of your bank account, they can just debit that. Once you give your information into health.gov, you have to give your banking information, your social security number, your cell phone, your demographic, and they can find you. They will find you at any point in your life. And when you think you're getting away with something, you won't be. Yeah, I mean, it's masterful. The fact that they can glean that much information from somebody, that you would even tell, you know, your doctor this stuff, but you're telling the government, some entity that you don't even know who these people are, but trust me, your information, they claim they can't jibe it, you know, or sync it with your insurance company, but it did go somewhere. Somebody has it. IRS has it. Kathleen Sebelius has it. Homeland Security has it. FBI definitely has it, and they said that they have it because they have to be the enforcement arm for when you're supposed to pay something or you get a good job and you're not paying back your subsidy. They're coming for you. That's a crime. I mean, you know, really, it's just sad how they – it's brilliant. I'm going to give them props for this because it was brilliant. Excellent rollout.
We're – and we've sort of talked about this. You know, my – biggest thing is that I'm glad George Soros is 110. He can't, no matter how much money he has, he can't live forever.
I don't know. You never know.
But but we're, you know, I keep asking her, I keep trying to think, how do they keep passing this down? And I have no idea whether it started with Woodrow Wilson or George Washington or George Bush or, you know, I don't know. But so they get everything they want. Who is it passed on to? Hey, even Obama, he's not going to live forever. He can't. There's nobody.
Well, they're going to enjoy it while they can, and then it's going to go into collectivist coffers, which is the UN is the biggest entity that the overseer of every country at this point. I've said it before. Part of the healthcare system. What underpins it is ICD-10, which is the coding system that is created by the UN, the World Health Organization. We're the last country to join that system. Every other socialized medical country is in it already. And it's paid for time. That's what the payment system is based on. It's not based on quality of delivery. It's based on time. So if you spend 15 minutes with a patient, my office manager told me they're rolling this out for primary care, that unless you see the patient for 30 minutes, that's their time, you won't be paid. So when you have an established patient come in and you spend 29 minutes with that patient doing excellent work, making sure that they're up to date in their meds, so on and so forth, you didn't spend any time with them, so you won't be paid. So this whole system is based on ridiculous, stupid parameters and benchmarks, which mean nothing in terms of patient care. But what it will end up meaning is that the doctors who are in private practice will go out of business because they can't afford to spend a half an hour to get 20% less payment. That's what you are trying to get is 20% less payment for your time. So now you can only see maybe two people an hour. Right now, people probably see six an hour just to keep their doors open. Who's going to be able to afford to stay open if they're not being paid by something else? That's where the doctors enter this. I mean, this is all going not only for patients to be single payer, but for doctors to become employees of the government, where you just get a pittance from the government and then you just work your tail off until you die. And then you're just doing the government's bidding, because if you go outside of what they deem as good health care, they'll sanction you. This is all moving towards that. This is not everybody deciding to get their facelift and everybody getting their hips done and everybody getting their glaucoma surgery when they want it yesterday. This is not about that. It's about gatekeepers. It's about doctors being removed as advocates for their patient. Forget the Hippocratic Oath. Some people don't even take the Hippocratic Oath anymore. And it's all about death culture. It's about disease culture. I just read an article that Belgium is the number one euthanasia capital of the world. I mean, they're killing adults. They're killing children over there. That's their society now. It's not about patient care. It's about bumping you off before you cost anybody anything. And they've been indoctrinated to believe that whether you're a child or you're a senior, if your usefulness is gone, then you need to be gone. And it's okay to do it. That's where it's going.
If you were 22, just gotten your degree, your undergraduate degree, and you know what you know now, would you go through what you went through to get your medical degree?
Yes, I would, because this is what I was born to do. I love what I do. I'm very good at what I do. And I couldn't see myself actually doing anything else with my life. However, I would have been a lot more savvy earlier and really, I guess, made decisions that were more business-oriented so that I could carve out my niche and be my own physician without depending on anybody else. I mean, I'm managing to do it, but it's a reaction as opposed to setting it up in a way that I've got my bubble, I've got a patient base that get it, and actually want to be partners in their care, like Dr. Boyer last week. He's a brilliant guy because he realized very early on that he does love what he does. He doesn't want anybody to take it away from him. And he wants to, I guess, activate or cultivate a group of patients, because you don't need 1,000 patients with this. You only need a few hundred. And you can have your own self, you know, functioning entity that you give the best health care and you are away from this system of death.
Do you think you'll be able to maintain?
I think you will. I think there'll be enough people that will get it. I think people are getting it, but they just don't know where to go and they don't know what their options are.
And go to Dr. George.
Well, go to me, go to Dr. Boyer, go to North Atlanta Urgent Care, go to North DeKalb Imaging, MRI and imaging, call me, email me. I'll be happy to give you a list of people who get it and who actually are old school, actually understand what medicine is, understand the power and the value of it, and will not play this game. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy.
Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. During the break, Dave and I were talking about an idea that he had for a new show, which I think is brilliant. I think we spend a lot of time everywhere talking about what the problem is. And you do have to understand the problem in order to come up with an answer. But you said, you know, would I do this again? The answer is absolutely yes. But now I'm all about finding answers to work around this problem. And they're out there. Obamacare sucks. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't. However, Health Sharing Ministries works around the problem. Well, the gentleman I had on like a month ago, Mr. Moore, who was the employer who said, you know what, I want to cover my employees. I found a way to do it. I'm just going to pay for their deductibles. So the patients or the employees still get care. He gets a write-off. All he needs to do now is join Liberty Health Share. So he would only have $500 out of pocket instead of $5,000 or whatever. And that's how you do this. This is a grassroots, everybody working for themselves, but by definition, working for the whole. Because once you break the system, if you don't feed this, it can't exist. Obamacare exists because people sign into health.gov. Had nobody done that, for example, it would have died on the vine in 1 second. Now it's going to take longer to die on the vine. And unfortunately, it'll probably get some legs under it. And they'll be empowered to put money into the insurance companies. They'll pump money in there. Eventually, I still think that it would give way if people would do what we talked about for the last month or two on the show. Liberty Health Share. I need to have him back on. That's a health sharing, a cost sharing business model where it's not an insurance company, where everybody is joined together because they want to be, because they want to take responsibility for their health, and it's a loophole in Obamacare. So just think about the difference between signing into healthcare.gov, getting on Blue Cross Blue Shield, having them tell you, pay me $800 a month for the privilege of paying another $5,000 out of pocket for an individual, or I heard $20 for a family. For the privilege of me saying, when you ask for my help, insurance company, no, you can't have it. It's medically not indicated or it's experimental. That's what they're telling people now. I can't tell you how much fighting I'm doing with Blue Cross Blue. I don't even want to see it come into my office because I know, one, I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do because I'm going to have to fight them. And they're going to say no. And I'm going to go into a phone hell where I'm trying to reach the medical director, who's not even an ENT, who's a psychiatrist, who doesn't know a damn thing about an ENT procedure, but I'm beholden to him to come down from on high to let me say, to say okay for a procedure that I know I need to do. Well, come on.
What I love is when you do all the dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's, get blessed, get their permission to do the procedure, and 30 days later they say, no, we decided we didn't want you to do that, and too bad.
Oh, yeah. Or we did say that you could do it, and then we won't pay you after the fact. Because on a secondary review, we don't think you need to do it. This is what goes on.
So do you get the patient back in the office and shove all the stuff back in their sinuses?
No. What I did is I ate the procedure, and I did it for free, and I can't write it off. That's what I got for my investment. Zero. I got screwed as a physician, especially if you're independent. Trust me, there'll be less of that going on. And people coming in now who say they have insurance, unless they can prove it, they are self-pay in my office. And I'm sure that every other private practitioner worth their salt is doing the same thing, unless they know the patient. Because there's no way that you're going to want to put your services out, take the risk, go on the malpractice round robin when you're not even going to get paid for what you did. No one can do that. No one should expect anybody to do that. But, I mean, doctors are expected to do everything for free and like it, but trust me, that's not going to be the case very much longer.
Well, don't you get your car, don't you get your oil changed and new brakes put on it for free? And
no. If only.
If only.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or my free cable or my free, heat. No, I don't get any of that stuff. But doctors are the only specialty, the only profession that's supposed to like it. And actually, Dr. Berwick, who I believe is running for governor of Massachusetts, my God, if they vote for him, they get what they deserve up there. But his mentality or what he said was, oh, well, the whole point of this exercise is that doctors should, what did he say? I'm going to paraphrase. But healthcare is a right, not a privilege. And therefore, doctors should be mandated to give their services whether they like it or not. That's his mentality. That is the progressive mentality.
Or lack thereof.
Well, yeah, that too.
You know, the thing that I, going back a few years and knowing doctors, and I've been blessed to be friends with quite a few doctors in one stage of my life or another. And I can't say it today, but I can say it. Well, I can, because you and I are friends. I never met I don't want to say never, but most of my friends that were physicians, they made money. They made some very
Hey, they
good
worked
money.
For it.
But they were the first ones that took off their vacation, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, went to a third world country, worked their butts off. Or they were the first to go to a disaster in the United States, or they, and I think I was ready to kill during Katrina when I had friends that went to one of the best known schools, colleges, hospitals in the world in New Orleans and were shot at.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. They were there to do good, and they were being shot at. And they came home, said, I paid for my trip down. I paid for everything. I took my supplies, and I was shot at. And came home. So
I'm not surprised.
I couldn't tell you how many doctors that I know, but I could throw you into the same group, that if you were given the right tax incentive, the right breaks, and didn't have that, you'd give up a day or a day a month and take care of the homeless, do whatever and whatever and whatever.
But I do that. We do that every time we take call. We don't get paid to take call. You do it for free. When I'm in the OR at 2 in the morning, trying to stop a nosebleed, I'm doing it for free. All right, so we do give. That's part of what we have to do to be on staff at a hospital. It's part of what you do if you have a surgery center and you own it. You have to do a certain amount of gratis work. You don't get reimbursed like the hospital does for indigent care. You don't. So what you would get And now, you know what? I don't even care about the tax incentives. I want to be paid for what I do. That's not a lot to ask. And it's not a pittance. It's not $100 to do something that takes me 5 hours to do. And then 90 days of free labor after the fact. Nobody should expect that. Nobody has a problem with an athlete, you know, who's doing God knows what, cheating and making trillions of dollars. And that's okay. But someone who saves your life, somebody who's on call 24 hours, over 100 hours a week, that person's treated like dog shit, excuse my French, and we're supposed to take it. You don't want somebody who's under duress, who feels put upon, who's angry, taking care of you. Do you really want that? Do you really want to corral a profession into, I don't care what you like, you will do it, or you won't be in practice? Do you really want someone like that taking care of a loved one, going into the OR with you, trying to hold your hand and be your advocate, you know, the art of medicine? You won't get that. I can tell you, you're not going to get that. You don't get that now, unfortunately, because people are so put upon to try to keep their doors open, pay their rent, pay their bills, and see their patients that they're distracted. That's only going to get worse under the Berwick model, under the progressive model of healthcare being a right. It's not a right. It's a service. It's a specialized service. It is a service that by definition means that the person who offers it has to be trained and takes years to get enough skill level to be able to do it well. They're trying to dumb that down into a one-size-fits-all, cookie-cutter, conveyor belt type of medical care, and then pawn off the thought that that's equal to what you get now. That's propaganda, that's marketing, and it's BS. And they're trying to tell people that under Obamacare, you're going to get just as good, you're going to get better health care for less money than what you have now. Mm-hmm. Are you stupid? Do you really believe that? And if you do, then I believe Dr. Boyer is right. If the system breaks down into two sections where you've got people who are on the government system, good luck to you. But I won't be part of that. You will not be getting my skill level. You won't be getting my expertise. You won't be getting my empathy. You won't be getting the art of medicine. And don't complain, because this is what you ask for. This is what you get. That's all I'm going to tell you.
You and the emergency rooms and so forth are going to catch it. Wait a second. My president promised it to be free, that I could come in here and
don't have
to pay anything.
You may not come out. Maybe like a Roach Motel, you can come in, but you may not come out. And no one's going to, unless they say, once you're a doctor, you have to stay there. You can't retire. That's the only way they're going to corral doctors in a system like this, is to make us stay. Like, you know, like the military, where you can't retire. No, you know, stop loss. That's the only way they're going to make us do it. And I think people need to wake up to the fact that you've got choices. It's time to start using them. This show is a resource. America's Web Radio is a resource. Contact us. Start using it, because we're here to help. And on that note, thank you for listening. I hope you have a fabulous week, and I'll see you next week, or hear you, whatever, next week.